Let's just commit the service to the Lord. Father, we just thank you for Jimmy. Thank you, Lord, what you've given him to speak on this morning. Touch our hearts, open our hearts, Lord. We want to be open to you. In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Thanks, John.
Bless you. Woo. That's me and God know that's a prayer of mine. It's just really awesome to be here this morning. I don't overstate that because we live in a day of overstatement, don't we? You can't have things that are delicious. It's absolutely delicious, or it's incredibly this and superbly that. But it is a privilege to be here, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to come and bring you up to speed with my mum. You probably, most of you know my mum better than you know me, Margaret Brown, the lollipop lady. So it's been a journey, basically. And, Albert Einstein said this. He said, if you can drive safely whilst kissing a pretty girl, you're simply not giving the kiss the attention it demands. You thought it was going to be scientific, didn't you? And, we're going to get to 12:30 safely. And, I've got things to say, and I want to say them in a good way, and I want to share what I believe God's given to me this morning. But I just want to switch the engine off. I just want to advise you all and encourage you all just to park up this morning. Because he deserves our attention, doesn't he? And that's just for this morning till 12:30. But you know, that rings true in life, doesn't it? I just feel to say that this morning, that some of us just need to park up and give him the attention he deserves. Because just in this morning, we'll get to 12:30 safely. We'll probably make it. Probably. And things might happen. And I'm happy with that. I'm happy with the idea that Jesus is here and he'll get us if we give him the attention he deserves. I'm not bothered about driving safely. I just want to park my responsibilities just for a little while and say, Holy Ghost, just come and say and do what you want to. Because without him, we belong to a good club. And I don't want to belong to a good club. I want to belong to him and his church, that organism, that vibrant living body that is dynamic, that is led by him. I'm sorry, I'm going off slightly here. So park the bus and just relax, because he is Lord. Thank you. My mum, about 18 months ago, my mum started to get a little bit fragile, and her memory started to go slightly. And Nick and I put it down to old age. She's in her 80s, and, not what you expect. I don't want to put that on us when we're getting older, but she was getting a bit fragile. And then late 2016, she went down, I think it was Dunnage Bridge Road, driving, and got lost, basically. And so she said to me and Nick, she said, do you know what, I think it might be a good time to give up driving. So on the outside we went, okay, Mum, and on the inside we were going. Because we felt my mum was probably a little bit like Mrs. Magoo. Sort of driving forward with peace and quiet and leaving mayhem and chaos behind her in her wake. We were always expecting to see her number plate on Granada reports. And so things developed, and she began to become more forgetful, and some behaviour became a bit strange, shall we say. So early 2017, we gently said to her, do you feel as though you might need to go and see your doctor? You might have a water infection. Anything might be going on. And again, it might be just down to old age. So she went to the GP. Oh, there's the clock. And he suggested that she go to the memory clinic in Waterloo here. And so in April 2017, we went to the memory clinic, and we both sat a 2.5-hour assessment. And I think I failed. because he gave my mum things to remember and repeat back, and I was struggling, and I was thinking, don't ask me, don't ask me. And so after 2.5 hours of some tests and exams and drawings and so on and so forth, the consultant came back and he said, I'm sorry to say, but you've got Alzheimer's. And it was a big day. And so we walked into the car park, and I'll never forget my mum's little face, like a startled bunny caught in the headlights, saying, Jim, that was a shock, wasn't it? And I said, Mum, listen, we have an advantage. We have a God who loves us, who delights in us, who cares for us, who's with us, and he's Lord of all, and we'll face this together with him. And so she went, like a simple revelation, okay. And nobody be kind to me today. I'm on an edge. If I start crying, I might not stop. So we faced it in denial. Me and Nick, I think we're in a little bit of denial because it's not something you want to accept. And so my mum basically deteriorated, and some of her behaviour was just inappropriate and obscure. She made toast for the world, and there was toast in every room. But Nick and I went out on holiday for 10 days, and when we got back, my mum wasn't well at all. She'd lost a lot of weight and basically had neglected herself, and it woke us up, to be honest, and some of her friends were trying to wake us up, and we wouldn't be woken up. Thank you. And so we had to do something, and Nikki's contract, she didn't renew that in school, and which we felt was godly timing. And so with Nick, a little bit myself, and friends, you know who you are, thank you, we tried to keep my mum at home as long as possible because of her behaviour was becoming a bit erratic and obscure, inappropriate, but she was safe and things were okay. But it just got worse, and she started to do things that were a little bit dangerous. I say a little bit, I say a lot dangerous. She was leaving things on and leaving the house unattended. And long story short, she was going on walkabout and was getting lost, basically. And so we came to a horrible decision, but a necessary decision, to place my mum in 24-hour care. And, you know, we didn't do this alone. We did it with some friends from here who were really supportive. And not that we need people to say you're doing the right thing, but it does help when you feel as though you're doing the wrong thing and you're sort of the guilt. I'm letting my dad down. You think quite obscure things when you go through things like this. And but God is good, and God is in this, and God has been all through this and all over this. And I'm here today to share some testimony and some revelation that I believe God has given me. So we placed my mum in care in a care home in Bootle called Afton Lodge, and it was a godsend. The building was tired, like a 1940s Poland two-star hotel. That's how I described it in my bad times. But the care was second to none, and we really felt at peace about this. And that's what I was going to share with you up to there. However, our lives are a dynamic, aren't they? They are fluid and they change from day to day. There's only one thing who never changes, one person, one thing. I don't like saying thing. God never changes, does he? His love is consistent. His lordship is absolute. He's not going to start a new precedent. He's not going to change his ways. And so we've been calling on God over the months. And my mum has progressed in her illness. And there's lots of things I'm just not going to tell you because it wouldn't be right or appropriate. But long story short, my mum on Thursday was presenting with behaviour that Afton Lodge couldn't cope with because it's only a residential home. And so they had to call an ambulance on Thursday and have her taken to hospital. So right now she's in Ward 15 of Aintree Hospital. The mental health nurse said to me yesterday, she is befuddled, confused and pleasant. Let me tell you something, that's a result. I'm not lowering my standards, but that's a good result at the minute, because she's not being pleasant. She's not being my mum, she's not being your friend and the saint that she was. But God is good all the time. And so she's now being assessed by a social worker to have a probable placement in an EMI accommodation. I know some people here, all of you here, maybe at some stages in different degrees are praying. Please, first of all, thank you for praying, but please don't stop praying. Pray for us, because we have a future and a hope in God. And so does my mum. And anyway, I think I'll finish there on my mum. So that's the retrospective on my mum. But you know what? I just want to share some of my life, some of the testimony and some of the revelation that I feel God has given me over this roller coaster ride over the last 9-12 months or so. And a lot of this happens in the wee hours of the morning when sleep is not my friend. And I was praying some months ago for my mum, just offloading to Father God, just saying how I felt, my burden, telling God all about my mum, as if he didn't know, telling God all about my feelings, as if he didn't know, offloading my anxiety and my burdens and my responsibility as best I could. And God quite clearly spoke to me. He said, Jim, long before she was your mum, she was my little girl. Don't say, oh, don't show me any kindness. I'll just start off on one. And these are Dave's glasses. I forgot my glasses. I've forgot a bag of washing for me mum. I've come out the house like I'm going to Kingsway. So these are Dave's downstairs. Thank you, Dave, if you listen. They're not very good. But thanks for offering. Do you know, oh. Long before she was your mum, she was my little girl. I think that's just about as sweet as it gets. And I remember lying there in bed in the dark at 2:30, 3:00, 4:00 in the morning, just going, oh. And you know, some of us need to hear that this morning. We've all got fathers and mothers and uncles and aunties and wives and husbands and sons and daughters and situations and circumstances. And God, your Father says to you this morning, long before. Long before. I love to pray. I love to talk to God. I love to chat to God. I love to intercede. I love to prophesy. I love to get into the throne room and be with him. And I've never heard God say, what? I've never heard him say, when? I've never heard him say anything like he's in a panic. Have you? I've never seen beads of sweat, nor the wringing of hands, nor the furrowed brow. What am I going to do? Thank you. And long before your circumstance and long before my circumstance, he says, I am. Long before my mum was my mum, she was his little girl. Long before your people, God knows. God's not caught off guard. God's not shocked, nor surprised, nor in a panic or a flap. God knows. And sometimes we use that as trite religious speak, don't we? Well, God knows. And we brush people off. But I say that with absolute conviction this morning to you, to me, to my circumstance. I speak it out creatively almost to my mum in her Ward 15 in hospital. God knows. And it's not just like he's cognizant of it, like he knows all things, but he knows. God knows. God knows where you're at. God knows your PIN number, your postcode, your secrets. You might have some things locked up. and you're a stalwart of the church and you never show weakness, but God knows. God knows your fragility, your vulnerability. God knows the tears you shed in darkness and in secret. God knows your problems and your issues. God knows. And it's not just a knowing, it's not a brain thing, it's a heart thing. God knows. I think that's good. I think that's better than your responding. Excuse me. But that's good. Is that good news? We have such a Father, such a Saviour who knows intimately. But sometimes these circumstances cause us to ask the question, does God know? And does God understand? In the NIV in Job, 9:33, Job in his lamentation, if you like, in his position of vulnerability and weakness, Job says, that's clever, Job 9:33 in the NIV, he says, if only there was someone to mediate between us, someone to bring us together. You know, I don't know what it's like to be without electricity. And it's hard to know or to imagine what you've always known. That's a bit... You know, Pharaoh didn't know electricity. It was there. It was always been there. Edison didn't discover it. He just fell upon it. And it's hard to understand or imagine what you don't know. This is complicated, isn't it? But Job said, he cried out in his torment, in his pain, in his situation, if only there was someone. In the AV, it talks about a dazed man standing betwixt, somebody who could lay hands on both power and suffering. Somebody who could stand with complete understanding in the gap and know what it is to be divine and know what it is to be human. If only there was someone. Can you imagine what that would feel like, being who we are as God's kids? It's impossible to imagine, isn't it? But this man's cry was, if only there was someone who could mediate, who could touch both of us. For 2,000 years, we've had someone. For 2,000 years, we've got capital S, someone. And he's wonderful, isn't he? We've got someone who's 100% God and 100% human. Somebody who can stand in the gap, the breach that was, and stands there now, able to touch both God and you right now. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's outstanding. You know, I prayed in the prayer meeting this morning that we just can't describe the indescribable. We can't put words. If all the Greek and the poetry and the Hebrew and the Latin, Japanese, the ancient hieroglyphics, we could put... We just can't say how good God is, can we? And yet something on the inside of us just cries out of his goodness, doesn't it? And we have someone. Someone who understands. Someone who feels. Someone who can truly plug in to both power and suffering. When I first came to Kingsway 100 years ago, I sat under Maz Nelson's ministry, and her favourite verse at the time was Philippians, still is, thank you. She's probably got 1,000, but this is top drawer, top one. Her favourite verse was Philippians 3:10, and do you mind if I read that to you? The magic of technology, it might even come up in the Amplified. Give me the Amplified, I'll make you work, Pauline. Philippians 3:10 in the Amplified says this, For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, and that I may so share his sufferings. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. The power of his resurrection. Amen. Bring it on. This Christianity is great. We all want the power of his resurrection, don't we? Yeah. Come on. We can do this. We can save the. We can get this world changed in a jiffy. Okay, I'll tie this side. The power of his. The power of his resurrection. Amen. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Ooh, thank you. You know, I think sometimes if we had two cues, A and B, who wants to join up for the power of his resurrection? And who wants to join up for the fellowship of his sufferings? We might have a different length of cue, mightn't we? So, one of my worst moments, I was praying in the wee hours again, and the Lord showed me a picture. It was a picture of like a Greek island scene with about five or six lines of freshly laundered white, Daz white. Do you still use Daz? Daz white sheets just wafting gently in the beautiful warm breeze on this lovely island. It was just one of those scenes. The sea was crystal, the blue was powder blue, and the sheets were there, and it was just wafting. It was lovely. And there's me crying out to God, help. And I caught a glimpse of someone in the sheets. And it was Jesus walking through my sheets. And he was just wafting, and I caught glimpses of him. And I knew it was him, but I couldn't see his face, but it was just him just wafting, just pushing the sheets aside, and they were just wafting gently over his body. And so I went after him, as you would. And I kept catching glimpses, and the sheets were bellowing, and I just couldn't catch him. And then I started noticing something. There was blood all over my sheets. And I kept looking with surprise as he walked through the sheets, and they would just get more bloodied as I walked and he walked. They were ruined, and I was indignant, and I said to him, "What are you doing? You're bloodying my sheets." And then I got a sense of such privilege and such honor. This was his blood on my life. This was his blood. And I remember holding these sheets in the wee hours of the morning going, his blood on my life. His blood on my life. His blood on my life. And it was a revelation of his blood and what it means to have fellowship with his sufferings. Power with compassion, without compassion is not something I want. In fact, power without compassion is dangerous, isn't it? Power without compassion is something that he doesn't want for the church. It's at least imbalanced and at worst very, very dangerous. But compassion without power is also not what he wants. We can offer people warm blankets and food and comfort, but we want to transform lives, don't we? Try this side again. And so I just believe God's speaking to me and speaking to us that, listen, if you think I'm going after trouble or I'm going after suffering, you don't know me. Do you think I'm stupid or what? Trick question. Don't answer that. But my determined purpose is to go after him. My determined purpose in this roller coaster ride over the last, it seems like years, a couple of months, has been to hold his hand and to follow him in every circumstance and every situation where he's going, and not to let go. And it has been an adventure. It has been a roller coaster, and it continues to be. And I've second-guessed God so many times and got it wrong. But he is consistent in his love. He is consistent in his care. He is consistent in his wisdom. He is consistent with his timing, which is absolutely perfect. To me in the flesh, he's always late. Well done, thou good and faithful. God likes his meat well done. That's what it seems like, doesn't it, when you're in the thick of it? God, will you turn the heat down? Turn that gas off. I'm cooped. Just a little bit more. Let's be wise and not go after sufferings. Let's not be religious and go to B&Q and get some sticks and beat ourselves. That's not useful. But let's go after Jesus. Let's determine today, this morning, to not let anything deter or hinder us in our pursuit of him. Because I want to testify this morning in the thick of muck and bullets that he is so worth it, that he is so magnificent. Again, you get into the superlatives and I can't describe the indescribable. But he is worth it this morning. I don't want to take everything that comes down the pipe as the fellowship of his sufferings either. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So we have to be wise and we have to be discerning at what God's doing. But some of us are suffering because we're in fellowship with Jesus. I probably thought that would go down like that as well. We shouldn't hide from suffering all of the time, because he is the someone. And when Job cried out in his desperation for someone, God had an idea. God had a plan before the foundation of the world to send someone. Will you do me a favor? Will you turn to the next person next to you and say, "You're someone"? Will you do me a bigger favor? Will you say it to yourself? You need to hear, some people need to hear that this morning. You're someone. You are someone. You know, Christians were mocked when they got that title of being called Christians, little Christs. It wasn't a term of endearment. And you are little Christs. You are someone. I'd like to say that for about 10 minutes, just constant, to be honest with you. You are someone. You are someone. You are someone. The devil will have you think you're no one. The devil and your circumstance will have you question that you're someone and say that you're no one. And you have circumstances and you have situations and you have people who are crying out, still crying out like Job did, in their ignorance and desperation, if only there was someone. If only there was someone. And you are the answer to their lament. that right? I am someone. And so are you. You're someone. And God wants to mobilize his someones this morning. God wants to minister some healing, some restoration, some, I can't remember what they were, refreshing to his someones, so that you can be a bigger and a better and an efficient and a more fruitful someone wherever you are. And that's the dynamic of Christianity, isn't it? That's the dynamism, the actual power flow, that it's not just Christ as one person somewhere in Jerusalem. It's Christ in someone's, the hope of glory. And I feel responsibility'd out. The last so many months, I've felt so responsible, trying to organize and manage and work. But that kind of responsibility of his is not a burden. It's a joy. It's an absolute privilege and pleasure to stand up and say, at your service, reporting for duty, I am someone. I really feel strongly that God wants us to put, it doesn't have the same effect as floorboards, but to stamp your foot and say, wherever you are, in whatever relationship you're in, whatever circumstance, I am someone. I think that's a great motivator. I think that's a great mobilizer. I think that's a great encouragement and stirrer-upper for us as a body, for the church at large, just to know that we are someone. And God wants to send you wherever you are. We are priests unto God. I'm probably done. And I thank you for the privilege of just coming to share with you this morning and bring you up to speed about my mum. Please keep praying. I just feel God wants us to respond. Is that all right? Because I want to sign up again. I want to stand up and just submit to him. I want to stand up again. And I'll do again tomorrow. It's not a one all decision, is it? I got saved in 1979. And I got saved yesterday. And I need to be saved tomorrow. I'll need a saviour for as long as I breathe. And I'm happy about that. Really happy. Because I've got one. I've got this someone on the inside of me. I would like to pray for people. I would like just to pray a general prayer for those of you who just want to respond to God in your seats. I want to give you the opportunity to respond statically or respond by coming out to the front. I want you to have the privilege and choice of just standing where you are and raising your hands. But you know, when God speaks, you might think I'm being presumptuous that God has spoken this morning. I hope you don't. I hope you're witness to the word of God. But when God speaks, it demands a response. It can't do anything else. His word comes and we need to hold on to it. We need to hide it into our hearts that we sin not. We need to plant it deep. The birds of the air will come. The cares of the world will come to try and choke that word. So I think if we could respond somehow, I don't know whether the musicians would play or... And I want to just give you the opportunity to respond to a general prayer. And if you want to come out because you're in that place of vulnerability and sadness and hurting, and you just need somebody to come and support you in that, please, please do that. The important thing is that we respond. The important thing, you know, God's not an ego in the sky, is he, looking for worship? He's looking for those who will worship. And there's a difference, isn't there? God's not looking for worship. He's looking for worshipers. And I want my life to be a lifestyle of worship. And that doesn't mean ting-a-ting. It's not a fast chorus or a slow chorus. It's a life, isn't it? And so in your response and in my response, I just don't want to worship him this morning. I want to worship him as the great someone. And I want to be someone to somebody else. And so let me pray. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you that you are consistent and constant in your care and love. I thank you that it doesn't matter about circumstance and situations. You promised us, Lord God, that the storms would come. You promised us that the seas would roar. You promised us that the rains and the floods would go whoosh. But you've gone ahead. You've gone ahead long before you have been and will ever be. And so, Lord, we want to respond to your word and say, we will build our houses. We will build our lives on your word and what you have to say, on your consistency, on your faithfulness, on your great wisdom and understanding. We lean not on our own understanding. Lord, help us not to see just with our two eyeballs, but help us to discern the will of the Lord. Help us know that we know that we know, so that we can be at rest, so that we can be carriers of that great shalom, peace. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that your people here and myself, Lord God, we will be where you want us to be, being like you want us to be, Lord, as someone to someone. Lord, I pray you just come by your Holy Spirit and just minister to your people, Lord God. Lord, the great encourager, the great healer. Lord, thank you that it just takes one touch from you and we can be free. We can be healed. We can be made whole, restored, refreshed. But we can also be sent again. Lord, thank you that there's no sin that cannot be completely forgiven and erased by your blood. We just revel in that, Lord God. We rejoice in that, Lord God. Lord, we just put a hold on the condemnation, Lord God. The accuser of the brethren, we put a hold on him. We say no more. We pray, Lord God, you would help us to recognize your voice, Lord God, that is saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Lord, help us to discern that condemnation so that we might bind that thought and take it captive to what you're saying, Lord God. Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just move amongst us now and just bring to our spirit and our soul and our bodies, Lord God, that touch that you want to do. You are a good, good Father. You are a good, good Father. And we are loved by you. That's who we are. That's who we are. So, Lord, Holy Spirit, I ask you to do more, exceeding abundantly, that I could ever ask or think to this body, to these individuals, and to me, Lord God. That at the end of the day, you will be glorified. That at the end of the day, the very end, you would say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I pray, Lord God, that this will be a line in the sand for some, and maybe for all of us, Lord God, that you would take us on from here in a new and a living way. Lord God, that you would revive your work amongst us, Lord God, and you would cause us to know who we are in you and who you are in us. That you might mobilize us, Lord God, to be your church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sorry, I didn't really want to come forward after that amazing word, but I kind of feel like I have to, and I asked Jay if I could say it before the play. But because of that word, and because of the singing songs like Draw Me Close to You, I just felt I wanted to share a poem about someone in their desperation trying to resist God, but not being able to. It's not mine. I won't take credit for that, but forgive me if I try to remember it. As an only child, I wasn't wild, just mild. Mum and Dad were very glad there was only one of me, not two or three or four or more, just me. We love you, son, our only one, our son. They took me to church. It didn't hurt because God lived there and he had a son, but I didn't care. Yes, in Sunday school, I learned the rule that God is love. He cares, he shares. He made frogs and dogs and koala bears. He cares. Who cares? Dad, where are you going? He answered me, not knowing. I'm going away for a day or four, maybe more. And out the door with suitcase in hand, he had planned never to return again. Oh, I had wait in vain and growing pain for my dad. My dad, my only dad. We love you, son. Our only one, our son. Is this the love that comes from God, a heavenly father? Well, then I'd rather a father who meant what he said. Instead, it was a lie, just high in the sky. God, Father, I don't know you. Where are you? But to you I run, your son.